Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the overview of OMB Approved Form ACF-196R State TANF Financial Report Form. If at any time during the conference you need to reach an operator, please press star zero. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, September 11th, 2014. I would now like to turn the conference over to Steve McLean. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Rebecca, and thank you, everyone, for joining. We would like to let you know that questions and answers will occur at the close of the webinar. However, you may submit questions throughout the presentation by using the chat box in the lower left corner of your screen. Simply type the question into the box and press send. We will collect the questions and pass them to the presenters as needed, and we'll address all of your issues at that time. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Susan Galanca, the Acting Director of the Office of Family Assistance.
Thank you. So good afternoon, everyone, at least for those of us on the East Coast. And thank you all for joining the call today. As Steve said, this call is about the revised reporting form, what we now are calling the 196R, for state submission of quarterly financial data on their state TANF and MOE expenditures. And for those of you who have followed the progress of this, you know that we've been working on this for over a year. And it will actually go into effect, if you will, for FY 2015 with the first quarter of 2015. The first quarter report for 2015 will be using the new 196R. We're excited about this new form because we think it will provide much more accurate and informative information about how all of you, how states are spending their money. It will do it by both, as you will see, we've created more categories of spending that we'll be asking you to report in, and also the methodology has changed such that if you have corrections to make to that with respect to prior year expenditures, those corrections will actually be made in those prior year expenditure forms, I guess, as opposed to making changes to the current year. Under the current way we've been doing it, when you make changes to the current year for prior year errors or corrections, you can actually come out with some negative expenditures. And in fact, I was just looking the other day at a state financial report for 2013, and it had, I don't know, it was like negative $22 million in its cash assistance expenditure line, which obviously was not happening. So with this new report, we will be able to know much more accurately what was spent in the current fiscal year or in a current fiscal year, regardless of what year the dollars originally came from, and we'll also have greater clarity about how it was spent. We think this information will be valuable to us as we think about how the program is being implemented. We know it will be of interest to policymakers, including Congress, because there has been prior legislation where there were the temporary reporting that had to be done in under the Claims Resolution Act. So that was clearly an interest that they've expressed. And then as well to general GAO has expressed issues and concerns about this. So overall, we think it will be much more informative, and we hope it will be useful to you in terms of how you administer your programs, how you communicate how you're using your funds, and we think that will be valuable to your own state legislators to know and policymakers within your executive branch. So today we are Maria Shanamea, who is within the Office of Family Assistance and has worked on this since the inception, is going to provide an overview of the key aspects of the 196R. And we will also likely do a more detailed webinar in November or December that really gets more to the nuts and bolts of submission. And we're joined here by other folks, including some of the gentlemen who are helping to program within the OLDC system. So if you have some questions about that, they might be able to address those as well. And We also have Peter Germanis here from the Office of Family Assistance, who also has been involved since the beginning of this. So with that, I'll turn it over to Maria. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. So I'm just going to go ahead and jump right in to the presentation. First, I'll provide an overview of the webinar. We'll discuss the program instructions, where we announced that OMB approved the new financial reporting form, the 196R. We'll review the two changes to the financial reporting that we've made. And while we have that discussion, we'll go over briefly some material that we presented in prior webinars about why we made these changes. And then we'll also discuss some feedback that we received during the Federal Register posting, where you all had an opportunity to provide comments. And then we'll discuss some next steps that we would like from you guys, and also what you can expect from us. And at the end, we'll respond to your questions, which, as Steve said, you can submit via the chat function. So on July 31st, 2014, we published API, where we announced that OMB approved the ACF 196R form. It's available on our website now, and it has a form. That PI has a form and instructions attached to it, and that form will be effective, as Susan said, for starting fiscal year 2015. So it's with the first quarter report that's due on February 14th, 2015. And from now on, from that point on, the financial data collection will involve two forms, the ACF 196R, and we'll still need to use the ACF 196, which will be used for adjustments and corrections to expenditures reported through FY 2014. And we'll get more into that, and we'll be able to illustrate how all this will work. So the first change we're going to discuss is changes to the expenditure categories and definitions. And just briefly, we want to go over some limitations of the categories on the ACF 196 that kind of sparked the change, these changes that we're implementing now. Essentially, the categories on the 196 don't reflect the broad array of different types of expenditures states are using their TANF funds on. We've seen an increase in expenditures reported as other non-assistance, particularly with MOE. And we also get little meaningful information under the categories for authorized solely under prior law. And finally, the expenditure categories and the definitions themselves aren't mutually exclusive, so there is some inconsistencies between states in how expenditures are reported. So our goals with the new financial reporting form are to address these limitations and really reduce to the greatest extent possible the amount reported under other. That is our goal, because we want to be informed of how you are spending your TANF funds. And we did we are mindful of the reporting burden, so we did try to strike a balance and not make it too extensive of a list of expenditure categories. So this table provides a comparison of the 196 categories on the left and the proposed categories that we submitted with the first Federal Register notice. New categories were informed by the Claims Resolution Act, as Susan touched upon, and you know, that was additional data that we collected for two reporting periods in 2011, you may recall. And you'll see one major difference that we proposed was to eliminate the distinction, or the overall structure of it, breaking down assistance and non-assistance expenditures. And we received a lot of comments about that, and we'll discuss our final decision with respect to that in a few slides. So after the first Federal Register notice, we received a number of comments, some recommendations for more categories, actually, and specific changes to language in the definitions. Some examples of additional categories that were suggested include to separate out adoption subsidies into a third subcategory under basic assistance, and that was due to the expansion of eligibility of Title IV-E adoption assistance. We had a suggestion to add a subcategory for independent living services under services for older youth and children. But in general, we accepted recommendations that clarify definitions or ease reporting while avoiding additional subcategories that would be too burdensome. And you'll see that we actually didn't add those two examples that I mentioned in the final reporting. And one comment we received indicated that the proposed subcategories under work support, which were transportation, job access, and non-transportation work support, are not necessary because they account for a little of total TANF spending, about 1.5%. So we actually removed those three subcategories and only have one general category for work support that includes in the definition transportation expenditures. And this resulted in a change in how job access is reported, and I'll get into that detail in a little bit. So on the right-hand side are the final categories on the OMB-approved form. And some other changes we made were between the first and second Federal Register notices were related to the definitions themselves. For example, we clarified where child support pass-through should go. So we really encourage you to review those instructions carefully as you complete the forms. And as I mentioned before, I did want to clarify a special instruction related to job access. So states will report the amount for job access in two places on the form, actually. And it will be reported within the total on line 10 for work support. And it also needs to be separated out on line 26 by itself. And the purpose for that is to calculate whether a state has exceeded its limit on transfers. So hopefully that's clear, but this was the best way to get both the total expenditures and also to ensure that the transfer limit is calculated correctly. Now, we did receive a lot of comments, as I mentioned before, about our decision to combine assistance and non-assistance. In particular, there was concern about how this affects the caseload reduction credit calculation. We do want to make clear that states should not necessarily have been using the ACF 196 to report or verify the assistance amount reported on the ACF 202, which is the caseload reduction report, because, as we explained, the 196 expenditures have adjustments and corrections from prior years. We've asked states to submit this data based on actual expenditures from their own accounting system, but it may not match what's reported on the 196. Now, with the implementation of the 196R, we will continue to calculate the state's caseload reduction credit as per the formula outlined in the regulations, and states should continue to report assistance and total expenditures made during the fiscal year on the caseload reduction report, that's the ACF 202, according to the instructions of that form. And we plan on using the ACF 196R mainly to verify that the caseload reduction credit expenditures are consistent and check that the total expenditures match those reported by December 31st on the ACF 196. And that's for quarter ending 9/30. And finally, we want to review that the ACF 196R does include a Part 2, and that's for narratives for spending authorized solely under prior law, and the amount that's reported in other, and any expenditures reported that are based on an estimating methodology. And we're going to require that Part 2 form once a year only. So now we're going to switch gears and talk about the change to the accounting methodology with the implementation of the 196R. And the new form, I want to go over a few terms in relation to the new form. It introduces a new term, grant year, which refers to the year in which the funds were awarded. And it redefines the term fiscal year, which from now on will be the year during which an expenditure occurs or is made. And again, just to go over what the current approach is on the 196, we've discussed this in past webinars, so we won't spend too much time on this, but with the current approach on the 196, each quarter states report cumulative expenditures made with each open grant year. And the only way for us to calculate estimates of federal expenditures made in a fiscal year is by taking the cumulative total at the end of the current fiscal year and subtracting from it the total at the end of the preceding fiscal year. And then we add the net changes together in all open grant years. And this does not always result in an accurate or real inaccurate or real expenditures made in a fiscal year. And the reason for that is that because states report or reflect adjustments and corrections to prior reporting in the current quarter's reporting. So if you look at this example, we have a state that had a mistake in the first quarter of 2015, and it doesn't reflect that expenditure until the fourth quarter of 2017. In essence, it's overestimating expenditures for 2015 and underestimating expenditures made in 2017. And as Susan mentioned before, if the adjustment is big enough, it could lead to negative expenditures. So our goal with the 196R is to address this limitation, but we also want to continue to be able to monitor cumulative grant awards and also monitor MOE and all the rules related to limits and on transfers and caps on administrative costs. And we want to really be able to convey expenditure trends accurately. So here we have the instructions. I took this directly from the instructions on the website, and I'm going to read it to you. Effective FY 2015, a state will report expenditures made with each open grant year award during a fiscal year. In other words, each quarterly report will reflect expenditures cumulative through that quarter for the fiscal year, resulting in a fourth quarter report that reflects actual expenditures made with the grant year award for award funds for the fiscal year. States will no longer report expenditures cumulative through the current quarter's reporting. And we admit that it is a little confusing, and we understand it's not the best worded instructions. And the reason why those two phrases are highlighted, we actually received a question from a state about these two phrases in particular that they seem like a contradiction. But in fact, they make sense, and we're going to go through and illustrate it for you to show you how the ACF-196R accounting will work. So here we have an example of a state that has multiple grant years open in fiscal year 2014. The state has been filing quarterly reports for all open grant years, except for grant year 2009. It hasn't filed a quarterly report in a while. So here we're at the fourth quarter of 2014. And in order to make the transition smooth, we really would like states to submit that fourth quarter ACF 196 for each open grant year it has. So in this case, even though for grant year 2009, the state hasn't been submitting quarterly reports, it's important that the state submits fourth quarter report for that grant to reflect that reflects expenditures through fiscal year 2014. So here, we transition into fiscal year 2015, and we introduce the ACF 196R. So by February 2014, a state will submit expenditure with each open grant year made in the first quarter of the fiscal year, in this case, 2015. Then, by the next deadline, May 15th, states will submit expenditures with each open grant year made through the second quarter of the current fiscal year, in this case, 2015. So essentially, the second quarter's report builds on the first quarter report and is cumulative through the second quarter. Similarly, for the third quarter, by August 14th, you'll submit expenditures through that quarter, building on the second quarter's report. And then finally, for the fourth quarter, by November 14th, you'll submit expenditures with each open grant year made through the fourth quarter. And this results in a fiscal year report for each open grant. And it's important to note that from this point on, that's essentially the most important form for the fiscal year. You'll still have access to the quarterly submissions that you've made in the system, but in order to make revisions and to calculate cumulative reports, which I'll illustrate in a few slides, that's the most important sheet that you keep on hand. And here we introduce fiscal year 2016. And again, at this point, we start from zero with the first quarter's report. You're not building upon the prior fourth quarter report. And generally, the fewer grant years that are open, the fewer sheets that estates will need to maintain clearly. So when reporting new expenditures, it's important that there is no gap in reporting and that states keep all the expenditure reports up to date. So if there's no expenditures that were made with a grant in the first quarter, you should submit zeros on that form. If there are no expenditures made in the second, third, or fourth quarter report, the system will allow you to clone the prior quarter's report. The system will also make sure that you have no gaps in reporting because it will essentially force you to complete missing reports for a grant in order to submit the next quarter's report. Next, we're going to talk about revisions to previously reported expenditures. And there's two types of revisions that can be made. So there's those that are made to expenditures reported in 2015 and forward, and also those that were submitted for expenditures submitted prior to fiscal year 2015. So the first kind of change, this is from the instructions. It's beginning with FY 2015, revisions to any expenditures made in fiscal year 2015 and thereafter should be made to the ACF 196R of the report quarter ending September 30th, the fiscal year in which the expenditure occurred. Again, we understand that can be pretty confusing. So we're going to illustrate it for you with a few examples. So if the state wanted to make revisions to grant your expenditures made in at fiscal year 2015, it would access that fourth quarter report for that grant in 2015. Similarly, for revisions to grant year 2015 expenditures made in fiscal year 2016, it'll simply access the form for grant year, that form itself, and make the revisions directly to that form. And again, another example, revisions to grant year 2013 expenditures made in 2015, you will access that form. When you make a revision, you should explain an addendum a reason for the revision, because our grants management staff really appreciates that information for monitoring purposes. And those explanations can be brief. An example would be inputting new expenditures after receipt of county-level data. So now we're going to talk about the second type of revision, and that's to expenditures reported prior to fiscal year 2015. So for those adjustments or corrections, you'll be able to access the 196 displaying each grant year's expenditures cumulative through fiscal year 2014. This will be based initially on the report submitted for quarter ending September 30, 2014, which we hope that you will submit for each open grant year. And again, this might be confusing, so we will illustrate it. So the sheets highlighted in yellow, these will be used for revisions to expenditures made through fiscal year 2014. And you'll see an example. So revisions to grant year expenditures made through fiscal year, grant year 13 expenditures made through fiscal year 2014 will be made directly on that ACF 196. Here, in this example, the state didn't submit a fourth quarter 2014 report for grant year 2009. So if it has to make revisions to that form, it would need to submit the form after the fact. In order to make the transition smoother, we are really hoping and encouraging states to submit for all open grant years, fourth quarter 2014 report, cumulative through FY 2014. And we do want to note that once all the grant years prior to 2014 are closed out, states will no longer need to maintain any 196s. They will just have to work with the 196Rs. So next we're going to talk about cumulative grant year reports, and these are reports that the system will be able to generate, and they'll essentially be providing for you what is collected now. And this is the form that you'll use to monitor grants. You'll be able to see how much funds you've used to date and also how many funds are remaining within each grant. And you can also you'll also be able to monitor the cap on administrative costs as well as the limit on transfers. So here's an illustration of how that will work. So for the first year of a grant, the cumulative grant year report looks exactly the same as the fiscal year report. Here we have grant year 2016, reported in 2016. It has one sheet, so there's only one sheet to take into account for the cumulative grant year report. Otherwise, it reflects the sum of expenditures reported in all fourth quarter fiscal year reports for the grant. So in this case, to calculate the cumulative grant year report for grant 2015, you sum grant year expenditures made in fiscal year 2015 and grant year expenditures made in grant year 15 expenditures made in 2016. Pre-2015 grants will produce a cumulative grant year report that will look a little different, because in this case it has to take into account expenditures reported through FY 2014 on the 196, which has the old sets of categories, and those reported in each fiscal year beginning 2015, which has the new sets of categories. You'll still be able to monitor everything you need to monitor. They'll just look a little different because they have to account for both sets of categories. And just remember, prior to FY 2015, we don't have separate fiscal year reports. Note that the X's are there. Those aren't taken into account. The only thing you'll need moving forward is that fourth quarter 2014 report for each open grant. And next, we want to illustrate a scenario that where a state submits a final report for a grant before the end of the fiscal year. And that essentially will be the last report that's taken into account in order to produce the cumulative grant year report. You see that there. And in order to verify whether a grant can be closed out, that cumulative grant year report must show that unliquidated obligations and the unobligated balance are zero, and that all the limits on the transfers and administrative caps check out. And finally, we want to point out that the system will allow a user to generate a cumulative grant year report through any fiscal year the user chooses, rather than simply just the latest fiscal year. So if it's 2016 and you want to know expenditures with a grant made through 2015, you'll be able to generate that as well. Next, we have cumulative fiscal year reports. So the data collection system, this is another report that it will generate, and it sums the actual expenditures made with each open grant during a fiscal year. And this is a report that we'll use primarily in order to publish our expenditure data every year. And instead of summing across, we're going to be summing down. So here we have the cumulative fiscal year report for 2015. Will sum all the expenditures made, regardless of grant, during that fiscal year. Similarly, in 2016, we're going to sum all the expenditures made with that grant, with each grant, during that fiscal year. Next, we want to specifically provide instructions on how you should report MOE. You should only report MOE for the fiscal year in the corresponding grant year's report. An easy way to remember that is in any report where the fiscal year and grant year match. In fact, the system won't allow you to fill in the MOE columns after the first year of a grant. So, and then in order to revise the MOE expenditures, you'll go back to the fiscal year report where you reported those MOE expenditures. For pre-2015 MOE expenditures, you'll revise the expenditures in the appropriate grant year's ACF 196. So in order to revise expenditures claimed as MOE in fiscal year 2013, you should go to the ACF 196 for grant year 2013 expended through 2014. And just to relate back, we did talk about before how the financial reporting relates to the case of reduction credit report. So here we have the system, which will be able to provide a snapshot of MOE reported by December 31st. Which is the deadline for reporting MOE for caseload reduction credit purposes. If the state increases that total after the deadline, the additional amount will not count for excess MOE. If the state reduces the MOE after credits have been issued, you'll invalidate the credit, even if the lower amount doesn't result in a penalty. So states suspect that they'll lower the MOE amount at a later date. They should report on the ACF 202, the caseload reduction report, the amount for which it wants to claim excess MOE for. The state should not revise MOE expenditure data lower than that MOE amount for which it received credit, because doing so will invalidate the credit. And finally, I'm going to go over some feedback that we received on the new accounting methodology between the Federal Register notices. Comments were generally supportive about our proposed methodology. One commenter urged us to develop a clear system for documenting and disseminating revisions as they're submitted. We plan on updating expenditure data that we publish on our website once a year. As we publish new expenditures, we'll go back and revise the ones we published in previous years, but we won't do it on an ongoing basis as the revisions are submitted. There was also concern that this methodology forces states to adopt the accounting on an accrual basis. This is not the case. States need not change their own accounting methodology in order to comply with the reporting instructions. You can report based on cash or accrual, and you make adjustments in order to fix the error that in an expenditure that you reported based on your own accounting methodology. And finally, there was some concern about difficulty in meeting the 45-day reporting deadline due to the timing of when, for example, due to the timing of when counties submitted their reports. And we actually don't see how this changes with the new accounting methodology, but it actually improves the accuracy of the expenditures because you'll be able to account for the expenditures when they actually occurred. And for late reporting from counties, for example, you'll be able to submit those as revisions to previously reported expenditures and account for them in the quarter or in the fiscal year in which they actually occurred. Some next steps. Again, I'm going to reiterate, we would like you to submit expenditures for each open grant year through fiscal year 2014 with the fourth quarter report. Some select states and our regional staff will be involved in some testing in early November of the new system. And as Susan mentioned, we'll be having a technical webinar more for the users of the system in mid-December. We expect a new form to be available in the OLDC system January 2nd, 2015, and you can send any questions to my assistant, Peter Jimenez, at that website right there, just that email address. So now, I think we can take some questions. I'll leave this up if you want to write down Peter's email.
Okay. Again, if you would like to submit questions, feel free to use the chat box in the lower left corner of your screen. The first question is, does the ACR 196R also replace the ACF 196TR effective fiscal year 2015?
No, that form actually has a different OMB approval number. So we'll look in the future, see how experience is with this form, and consider making changes to the other reporting forms, including that for territories as well as tribes.
Okay. The second question, will the states be able to generate the new reports, or are they only for ACF?
I think that's referring to the cumulative reports, the cumulative grant year report or the cumulative fiscal year report, and states will have access to those as well. They'll be able to monitor how they're doing with their grants and the total expenditures made in the fiscal year, regardless of grant.
All right. We have two more questions remaining. The first of the two is, what does invalidate the credit mean?
I'm actually going to turn that over to my colleague, Julie.
Bad things. we haven't actually been in a situation where we had this happen, but we can't be in a situation where we give a state essentially work participation credit for spending that it now tells us didn't happen. I mean, that's just not fair. It would be grossly inaccurate. So the better approach is just to be sure that you're not trying to take excess MOE credit for spending that you're later going to undo. And we will work with you to make sure that you have a floor, or maybe it's a ceiling on the spending, so that we don't give you credit in the caseload reduction credit for more than you're ultimately going to have. I mean, it's only fair. We don't want to be in a situation where we have to, you know, revoke a credit, and that would affect work participation. You know, I don't know that we've fully outlined exactly how it would work, but it would be a bad thing for everybody.
Okay, thank you. The questions are coming fast and furious now. Next one, the ACF 196 form does not have a box to indicate the report is a final report, as I see is on the ACF 196R. Is a report considered final on the ACF 196 if the unliquidated obligations and unobligated balance are both zero?
Well, after fiscal year 2015, the 196 would only be used if you continued to spend that grant year's funds in FY15 or later. So you would only close the grant out on the 196R itself.
But if you're trying to, if the question is maybe that you're trying to close out grants prior to the transition, on the 196, how do they indicate that a grant?
Well, they'd be using the current form, and
right.
I believe that form does have
a
final
check.
It's only in the if you transition, you haven't finished all of your spending, that you would even be looking at the 196 in fact.
Okay, thanks. Next question, when we enter the data within the 45 days, can we still make adjustments through the full 90 days?
Well, obviously, if you once you've entered the first quarter report, for example, would you revise the first quarter or make the changes in the second quarter?
Yeah, it will be in the quarter they're working on for that fiscal year.
It would be in the quarter that you're working on within your fiscal year.
But normally if a change occurs and you want to go, let's say it's the third quarter and you want to go back and make a change to something that happened in the first quarter, you wouldn't go back to the first quarter. Everything is cumulative through the quarter in question until you get to the end of the year.
Right.
So at that point, you would just make the correction in the third quarter in that example.
Right. Within a fiscal year, you don't have to go back to prior quarters. You could just reflect it in the current quarter. Once you get to the fourth quarter, then that's the final for the fiscal year, and then the next fiscal year, you start from zero.
Okay. Next question. I thought that states were required to submit fiscal reports for the end of the fiscal year, i.e. fourth quarter reports, in order to show any cumulative expenditures from the TANF award.
I'm not sure I follow the question. They're supposed to report every quarter.
Oh, in the original instruction, we had it that way, but it has changed, right? They're not required to file that annual cumulative report. So that we will provide the means in the system for them to generate a cumulative report and see the accumulated expenditure.
Okay. Will the award amounts be auto-filled?
Yes, the award amounts will be auto-filled. There are some lines that are calculated and auto-filled. When you get into the second year of a grant, there'll be a carryover, which will be automatically calculated. And when a state makes a revision to previously reported expenditures, all the carryover amounts will be automatically updated in the forms that follow.
Okay. On the examples, it showed UI 2009 reporting quarter four fiscal year 14 report. Why is this needed? If quarter one fiscal year 13 was the final report and there is no additional funding available, is this quarter four fiscal year 14 ACF 196 needed?
So if you've closed out the grant prior to 2014, then no, you don't need it. In that example, grant year 2009 was still open. The state hadn't used any expenditures with that grant for a number of quarters, or they weren't updating that for whatever reason. So it's important that for the fourth quarter, 2014, we have all expenditures made through through 2014.
So did I understand that states now will have to keep up with two accounting methods, cash and accruals?
No. You should continue using whatever accounting method you use and you report on. The adjustments and corrections essentially just will result in an error to prior reporting. So you would just go back and fix the error according to how you reported the expenditures using your own accounting methodology.
Okay. I think this is a follow-up to a previous question. Your example did not show fourth quarter reports for fiscal year 2009.
So fiscal year 2009, we were using the 196.
You had one example of each.
You need a square around.
Yeah, it's right
there. There you go.
I guess I don't know.
In that example, you did have a fourth quarter report. You had a later example where the state made an error, hadn't sent in the fourth quarter at the end of 2014.
Correct. And that was for revision.
Right.
The state wouldn't be able to make revision to the 2009 grant expenditures with the 2009 grant through 2014 because we don't have an ACF 196 submitted for that. They could submit it after the fact, but it would be good to have it during the transition going into 2015.
The system will, correct me if I'm wrong, Winston, the system will allow you to enter data for FY 2015 in this example until you've done the fourth quarter 2014 report for the 196. So that's why we want states to submit it all now.
For all of
them. Well,
that's the ideal scenario. We would like to have every state have a baseline defined by the end of 2014 in the event that the expenditure reporting continues past 2014 under the new form in 2015 and so on, so that when we get to generate the cumulative reports, we can have a departing point such as the last cumulative report in 2014 plus the latest quarterly report in the subsequent fiscal years, so that they can be aggregated accordingly into a cumulative grant year report.
Yeah, otherwise, if you didn't report that, we have to go back and try to figure out what the latest report was.
Correct.
Okay. Will Part 2 eliminate the need for the fourth quarter attachments?
Yeah, there's no more. I think right with 196, they were addendum.
Yeah.
Now it'll be a separate part, and that'll be associated with the total fiscal year expenditures. You don't have to submit one for each grant year used during the fiscal year. Although in the details, you can, if you had different methodologies, you could provide that detail in the narrative.
Okay. This is probably the only question that I can answer. Are these slides available on the website, or will they be made available after the webinar? Yes, copy of the PowerPoint as well as a transcript and an audio recording will be posted online after the webinar. The next question, will OLDC still alert with warnings and still allow reports to be certified and submitted?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Quick answer. If a state's final ACF 196 for fiscal year 2010 was filed in fourth quarter 2013 and corrections are required in fourth quarter 2015, would the corrections be made to the report filed in fourth quarter fiscal year 2013?
The question is, where did the expenditure occur? And if it occurred in 2014, then it needs to go into the last quarterly filed for 2014.
Although, didn't you say they closed it in 2013?
The question?
Hold on.
What was the last time?
Someone made, it sounded like someone was asking.
Yeah, could you repeat the question?
Sure. If a state's final ACF 196 for fiscal year 2010 was filed in the fourth quarter of 2013 and corrections are required in the fourth quarter of 2015, would the correction be made to the report filed in the fourth quarter fiscal year 2013?
And presumably that would be for an error that occurred in 2013, not in 2015.
Right.
Right.
Or previous,
the question is about
previous
the
prior year. Right. It's closed, but
yes,
they discover an error later.
Right. So I think we would like those adjustments to occur on the fourth quarter of 2014 for consistency purposes, right?
Yeah.
So that every state will have filed. In this case, the reporting ended in 2013. But we would like that cumulative report to be replicated, and we're going to have the ability to clone the amounts that existed in 2014 into the last report of 2014 so that they don't have to do all the data entry for those dollar amounts and line items. And that's where the adjustment or revision should occur. On the last filing of 2014, for any adjustments that may have occurred in fiscal years prior to 2014,
and if that correction or adjustment led to some new funds becoming available, then those would presumably be spent in 2015 or in the future and would be reported on the 196R.
Okay. For the final report for fiscal year 2014 that may not be completed until December 2014, will the ACF 196 or the ACF 196R be used when it is filed before February 2015?
If it is for 2014, it's on the old 196,
right,
quarter for 2014.
If the expenditures occurred in 2014, it'll be on the 196.
Okay. Next question. Wouldn't all states need to submit their ACF 196 for fourth quarter 2014, which is due November 14, 2014?
Yes.
Yes, they should. They should submit. But states don't always submit reports for each open grant year. So please.
Right. And as we move forward into the use of the new form, we want to be able to have better handle on what's outstanding, what's open out there, and for them to communicate to the grants office when they have actually, spent all their funds and they're ready to close that grant. And even after that glance, after that report has been marked final, adjustments will be allowed thereafter if they need to make any adjustments.
Okay. Next question, is it true we cannot make any prior year adjustments on the 196 form?
So for expenditures reported 2014 and prior, we don't need the revisions, adjustments separated out by fiscal year. They're just going to be to the ACF 196 expenditures through FY 2014.
The fourth quarter report.
Right. And to help understand why, one of the reasons is that up until now, the 196 reporting by nature is all cumulative from one quarter to the next and so on. So it becomes very difficult to manage any revisions to a prior period and then to have to adjust any subsequent reports thereafter. So we ask that all the changes for or under the 196 reporting be concentrated and on the last quarter of 2014.
So bottom line is anything that happened before fiscal year 2015 gets changed in the fourth quarter 2014 report, and then you may update that once, twice, three times until there are no more changes or adjustments.
Yeah, and thereafter we concentrate on capturing actual expenditures for every fiscal year as we look at the fourth quarter report submission of every fiscal year.
Federal expense, right.
Thank you. Next question. So we are entering cumulative data for the quarter being reported, which means for March 15, we would be reporting the cumulative amount for a given grant year.
If that's for grant year 2015, fiscal 2015, then yes, you're reporting cumulative amounts quarter by quarter until you get to the fourth quarter. That will be the amount spent for the year then.
Okay. Next question. Does the period the subrecipient incurs the expenditure now effectively become the period for reporting on their 196R? The date the state reimburses and books the expenditures can often be in a different fiscal year.
I think that really depends on the accounting methodology the state uses when it considers the expenditure made, if it uses cash accounting or accrual accounting. So it's really up to the state. As long as it's consistent between fiscal years, it should always be consistent, or else then it's going to skew expenditures.
Okay. I filed a final report since all funds were used. Now I see there was an adjustment needed between expense categories. Can this be done? Do I need to do this on the 196R?
So if it's two expenditures, obviously, before 2015, you're still going to be using the 196. I personally don't know the process of reopening a grant in.
Yeah, and that process wouldn't change.
Yeah.
Whatever the process has been up to now, that would continue.
So you could reflect that adjustment in the current quarter's reporting all the way up through the fourth quarter of 2014 on the 196, because the expenditure occurred prior to 2015.
Okay. Next question. Do you anticipate any issues for the first quarter reporting in January, and will you be willing to provide the states with a filing extension?
The biggest issue is Maria won't be here, but we haven't thought about that. I don't know if we have the authority to allow for an extension, but obviously if there are problems, just as there are now, you can update and provide the correct amounts in quarter two.
Right, because it'll be, you know, cumulative through quarter two. You can, you know, reflect any adjustments needed to quarter one or any mistakes that happened because the system wasn't working correctly in, you know, quarter two or quarter three.
Right. And one thing the system will do is if they're ready to file quarter two but they haven't filed quarter one, it will ask them to put quarter one, as we won't be allowing to have any gaps in the reporting of expenditure. So that report has to exist. And in order to simplify the reporting and their entry and limit the burden on their side, there will be a capability to clone the data from one quarter to the next in the event that there are no changes.
Okay. Next question. I was told that prior year's grants cannot be reopened to make adjustments on the 196. Is this true?
I think that's the question that, unless you can answer.
No, I think we have to defer that question to the grants officer.
Yeah. You'd have to check with your regional grants officer.
Okay. That was the last question in the queue. We are coming up on the end of the webinar. We have a few minutes left. If there are any last-minute questions, please submit now. Otherwise, we will turn it over for any final comments that anyone might have.
Well, as Maria mentioned, I'm her assistant, and you can feel free to send me any questions, and we can try to respond. Well, it's on the webinar, but Peter Germanis, I think it's peter.germanis@acf.hhs.gov. I think. I don't email myself off.
But you're available 24/7 anyway.
Okay. Great. Thank you, everyone, for one more and the deadline. at the buzzer.
Give him an extension.
Yeah. Final question. Will there be a hotline for any questions we may have when using the new report?
Well, I think initially email me, but if we start getting a lot of questions, I'll certainly find someone else you can contact, and maybe Winston or...
Well, and their regional points of contact would be...
Yes.
Thank you, Julie.
Yes. They're regional. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for participating. This will mark the end of the webinar. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.
Yeah.